Blog Talk Radio.
And good afternoon once again, ladies and gentlemen. This is Adam Pinkney of the AP course. Anthony Guardi will be joining us shortly. Unfortunately, there's a little bit of traffic and he's getting into his vehicle. So I'm going to give you, I'm going to give you some quick updates and we're going to go from there. Hopefully, Anthony will be there or be with us by then. So just some updates. As me and Anthony have been talking with the holiday week or holiday weekend coming up, we're going to be doing a show every day this week. Now, Anthony may or may not be able to do that because, as some people may know, Anthony is getting married this weekend, 6 days to be exact, on July 5th, which I'm sure he is super ecstatic for. Which is going to be a fun time, and unfortunately, or fortunately, I'm his best man. So I have to even get more prepared for a speech for that. Not that, you know, I have to be prepared for anything else, but, you know, there's some great, you know, one-liners, one-zingers, stuff that I've texted him that I'm not allowed to say. It'll be great. Just good times. Anyhow, for some quick updates beyond that, I'm going to give you the winners of the elected draft, but Anthony actually is with us. Let me just make sure we can get him on board. Anthony, you there?
I am. Hey, sorry for being late. I had to find the phone number to call, and I still haven't saved it because I'm an idiot. So,
there you go. Much expected. I was just kind of giving some updates about this week and wanting to do a show every week, or every day, I should say. Which should be fun. I know you might not be able to make it for every show, but, you know, we'll definitely work on what we can with that. Beyond that, I know we're going to announce the winner, even though the voting is still open if you want to vote. But basically the winner for the elected draft that we did about a week and a half ago technically is Anthony. And I say technically because it was kind of debated a little bit on Facebook, but I voted for Rosemary Galvin, and he called me out on it right away saying, well, she wasn't technically elected and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, who cares? It's all for fun anyways. So we let it slide, but I feel bad, and Anthony needs to win, so Anthony wins. Congratulations,
yay.
Anthony, you won the draft.
There you go. No, that was fun. We should do it again sometime.
Oh, definitely. I think it'd be a blast. We can kind of tweak it a little bit. Maybe we could maybe what we should do is invite two of the selectmen on and have them do their own draft, and we just kind of moderate it. That'd be a lot of fun to do. Anyhow,
we're going to get some selectmen on. I know they've reached out to you or to us about getting on, so I think that sometime soon we should probably try to fit them in. I know we're going to have the town administrator on again as well too. So maybe we can get all of them in on it. We can force Steve to pick who his favorite selectmen are.
I don't think we can do that. I don't think that'd be a good idea on our end. I mean, we could. He might not appreciate that much. Did you want to give a quick generic traffic update? How's your ride?
I'm actually not even on the highway yet. I just left the office probably about a minute or two ago. So I'm still in Needham. I'm driving to the highway, but the drive to the highway is really pretty good. So I'm sorry for anybody who depends on this for their traffic from I-95 back to Wakefield, from I-95 North back to Wakefield. Sorry that I can't help. I-95 South, excuse me, back to Wakefield. there's no help for me.
That sounds about right. So just to kind of get a little further into it, because I know we definitely want to get back into the Brightview discussion that we ended on Friday. Real quick, I went real briefly into the Bruins and why I was very upset for the move that they made, or more specifically, the lackluster of return that they got back. And I just wanted to follow up on that real briefly, and it's over. They're not going to win it any time in the near future. I'm very upset with the direction. Three first-round picks, and you can't package those three for even a second-tier, either top-four defenseman or a second-tier offensive lineman. It doesn't have to be a center. It can be left-wing, right-wing. I don't care. Like, how can you do that? And then if you're going to make the move of getting rid of Lucic, and then today go and trade for Joe Schmo Goon, whatever his name is, from Philly for a third round pick makes no sense to me whatsoever. And it's over. It's going to be a long time before the Bruins are good again, unfortunately. And it's such a shame because I love Bergeron and I love Krejci. You know, they're great players, and it's just a shame. Did you have anything to add to my little rant, or do you just want to get going?
Well, I didn't Google any Bruins articles before I came on, but since we're talking about things that, you know, I don't know about, I will bring up one comment I saw today on an unrelated sport, the UFC. I saw that Conor McGregor announced that he's going to knock out Jose Aldez on July 11th in the first round, and I will be the first to say if that actually happens, I would be completely, completely shocked. I think Jose Aldo is going to, you know, I like Conor McGregor. I would love to see that be a good fight. I actually think Jose Aldo is going to beat him up pretty good. And I think that's going to set up an awesome fight between Frankie Edgar and Jose Aldo. So now that we've lost anybody who's interested in anything Wakefield related, should we get into it?
Yeah, definitely. Why don't you kind of start off with the Brave View stuff that we had going on, or pretty much where we left off, I would say. I mean, more so, you know, where the development is lying now and things of that nature, if you want to kind of touch base on that.
Yeah, I think our thought was, I think we felt bad because we wanted to do, you know, a few shows on Brave View just to kind of recap everything. And I think last week we only had about 10 good minutes on it just because we got into the massage parlor issue and discussion. I think let's start by talking about that campaign, and I want to comment on something Mark Sardella, the columnist for the Wakefield Daily Item, a great journalist, you know, and a very good friend of ours, made a comment saying that, you know, the campaign was lost for the Garage, for Brightview, because the other side, and I'm kind of extrapolating what he was saying a bit, so I hope he doesn't mind. And, it, you know, he can correct me either on Twitter or he's more than welcome to call in. I know we want him on the show. You know, he basically said that the other side said that it was a soft town land giveaway, that it was a land giveaway, and that's why it was lost, because the people of Wakefield didn't want to give away the land. I don't know if that, you know, it's anecdotal. I know that was the big argument the other side made, but I don't know. I never saw that as catchy. I thought on the metrics of it, actually, that the yes side arguably ran a better, I guess you could say they didn't run a better campaign because they lost, but just from the metrics, if you were just looking in and you were saying, you know, taking bets, I think most of us thought the yes side was going to win because it had all the elected officials endorsing it. It had most of the, I think it had most of the letters in the item, if I remember correctly. It seemed to have, definitely, if you follow the Wakefield community group, all 15 people who comment on the issue seem to be in support of it. You know, so it did seem to have the following. And again, it passed overwhelmingly at town meeting. I'm still surprised it lost, but I think it does speak to, again, Wakefield just in general being a town that's tough for developers. They don't. Wakefield is a town that I think is conservative in the sense that they like what we have, they like the direction we're going in, and they don't like to make big changes. I mean, I know, and I was wrong on a few things. I know you corrected me earlier. Do you want to rub it in my face and correct me now?
In regards to the vote total, or
I do exaggerate a lot. I was wrong on the vote total and whatnot.
So I did a little research into it, and because I recall that evening being down at Harrington's and getting some numbers, and I really thought you were off a lot. And then when I looked into it, basically the numbers for and against, I mean, we're talking only 100 votes difference, essentially. I think for the no votes on the Garage, it was around 1860. And for the yes votes for it, it was like 1730. So I'm sorry, about 130 votes, give or take. We'll just say 100 just to kind of make it fair because I don't have the official numbers in front of me. I'm just kind of quoting from different articles, but they're a little bit different online. So in regards to the voting, I mean, it was a very close vote. I mean, basically, if, you know, if
Anthony, even though you said you voted, you maybe you're lying and you were just lazy, you know? Like, you never know, like, who does that, like, was assured, like, oh, yeah, I'll vote, don't worry about it. And then they don't show up to the polls. I mean, that happens, you know? So it was so close that, you know, you really needed both, like, if you wanted your side to win, you really needed to have a good get-out-the-vote campaign. And as we've talked, actually, on one of the first shows that we did, you know, that's part of campaigning and really making sure that you have that plan all set up. And I think both sides, not that I wasn't heavily involved either way, I think both sides did what they could, and it just came out the way that it came out, unfortunately. Well, my stance, unfortunately, but it is what it is at this point.
No, I was going to say, and, you know, to your point on a few notes, is that it's true. I think, you know, when we start talking about the show, I always say, you know, you can't say, oh, well, the other side lied, or the other side did this, or the other side did X. I mean, and especially on this one, only because I felt like the Yes side had a much more, I mean, their mailing was huge. It was beautiful. I don't know who designed it for them. I think it was David Lipton, but I don't want to, he's a political consultant up in Lynn. I don't want to hold him to it, because if I'm wrong, I don't want to give him credit for a campaign he wasn't involved in. But, you know, it was a beautiful piece. It was 8x11. You know, again, they had the, what I'll call for, and I don't mean this derogatory, they had the Wakefield establishment, you know, all the people behind them. And they still lost, even though it was 130 votes. You know, it was still a high turnout by, if you look at the last municipal election, you're still talking 3,500 votes, give or take, came out. And that's pretty big, you know, when we've had town elections where top vote getters are getting 1,200. You know, both the yes and no side got more votes than that. And I wonder, you know, could more have been done to make the yes argument? But you don't get that chance. I mean, you know, and I think the people at Wakefield are relatively well informed. I do think most people, especially the ones who voted for the issue, tend to know the town pretty well. I've always said, and I stick to this, I think there's like a bubble of about 200, 300 people who are involved in everything. You know, we read the Daily Item every day. We read the Wakefield Community Group. We do podcasts. We know WCAT. We know every member of the school committee and selectmen. And sometimes I think in that bubble, what we think is going on is not actually reflective of the town. And I think we see that over and over again. I think you saw that with last municipal election, where you thought Janine Cook was going to win. I think you saw that with the overrides of the past that failed so many years before the last Galvin vote. So I think it was just a repeat. So I guess, you know, the question now is, how does that translate? What I want to stress a lot, and only because I think it's so powerful, is that, you know, we live in such a great town that our biggest argument is an assisted living facility. I mean, when that is, when you really boil it down, if that is your biggest criticism, if that is really what is bothering you the most, I mean, how lucky are we? You know, again, me and you, Adam, we've campaigned in so many different towns where we've seen so many issues, from opiate addiction to crime rates to failing schools. You know, and our issue is whether we want an assisted living facility built in town or not. Or a few years ago, you know, everything from Burger King to Shaw's to how to control the geese at the lake. Again, I think sometimes we have to take a step back and say, wow, how lucky are we that this is what we're arguing about, and we're not talking about severe heroin epidemics or severe drug problems or a severe crime spree. You know, we are lucky that we live in a town where that's the issue.
I think I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut over you.
No,
I think you're absolutely right. Shut up. I think you're absolutely right.
Best man privileges revoked. I said I'm revoking your best man privileges.
No, fudge. I guess I don't have to on Sunday. Anyhow.
I already ordered the dinner. You're coming.
All right,
sorry.
Yeah.
Back to whatever.
No. And sorry to get off on hand. It's just, no, I agree with you. I mean, to be in a town where, you know, the biggest issue is about a development that wants to come in for assisted living, and the
the argument is that now the development's too big, or it's that it's kind of almost not wanted, because I'd be surprised. This is my criticism of the people who are against the project or the size of the project. What size project would make you happy then? The arguments are made in that they get the way of, because right now, theoretically, it could be five stories high. Say it is only between two or three stories, and it's uniformed to how all the townhouses or Victorian-style houses in Wakefield look. Is that going to be appeasing enough for the opponents of Brightview? Will they be happy with the look and feel of that? Or is this a way just to get rid of a development? Because as someone who supports a lot of business, whether it's small or medium-sized in town, I don't understand why you wouldn't want to develop that area. Because I'm not knocking the current owners, although I pretty much am, what they have right now is not the best looking area in the world. A lot of the houses that are there, unfortunately, need to be spruced up. The landlords should do something with them or something more than what they have. And again, I know that there's money constraints. You know, it's not that I'm a homeowner myself or anything of that nature, so I'm not one to talk. But if we're going to say, you know, that you need to have a thing in uniform or a certain way for the way a project looks or the way anything is built on a property that's bought, then it's kind of unfair to those developers or those people that are willing to take a shot in our town. You know, they should be allowed to be able to have somewhat of a reasonability to be able to, okay, you know, the selectmen approved this, the ZBA approved this, so on and so forth, that enough people are behind a project that they're able to work on it and make it work well. So that's my take on it. And again, I'm not saying I'm right or wrong necessarily. I just don't agree with the overall abutting of trying to stop a project like that.
No, three quick points. Point one is I do think this goes back to, and I'm not going to get into our discussion of the type of government we run. I hate the idea that things can be sent to town meeting and then they can be forced to a vote. I get it. It's like that old puritanical Puritan style of direct democracy.
We need Steve Mayo as mayor. Let me just point that out.
This is why we need a mayor. I mean, it is. And, you know, again, I told Steve Mayo he should run for mayor. I mean, this is where you do need a mayor who says, I'm bringing in a developer, and if you don't like it, vote me out in 4 years and judge me on the whole. But let's, I don't want to go down that road because we've talked about it so many times. The second point I think you're dead on is those properties are just not in good condition. Frayne clearly owns them since they're the ones selling them, and I don't mind knocking them. I don't like the conditions that they're in. I think they could do a better job sprucing them up. I think the use of that land, including townland, could be put to much better use than it is now. I mean, I think that's why the town was trying to sell it, was because they realized that this was a parcel that was not being utilized completely effectively. Is an assisted living the best use of that location? I've said this before, I don't want to sound like a hypocrite, so I don't think so, but I wasn't at the town meeting to vote against the overlay. I still think, and this is where I get into a big disagreement with a lot of people, I still think, you know, a series of condos for young professionals. I know I'm biased, probably speaking, you know, somebody our age who would love to have a condo in downtown Wakefield. I would like to see those go up. I do think we should hit our affordable housing quota because I know how hard it is for young people who are just graduating or, you know, who just have a ton of college or graduate school debt. And, you know, they're trying to make it, and they still want to stay in Wakefield. So I think getting that number of affordable housing units is up. And that's really where I kind of got disappointed. And not all. I don't want to make, do a big brush stroke. But there were some people who really were negative against that and said some things that just were very disappointing. And even, like, you know, some of the comments, they were very disappointed about those kind of units and those kind of homes. So I would have rather seen that got in. But, again, shame on me. I was not at that town meeting. I should have been there. So the question is, what would the opponents want? Now, again, I am the lawyer for the Wakefield Civic League that seems to have taken the lead on opposing this. But with that said, I haven't talked to them about it. I've never gone to a board meeting. I'm helping them set their nonprofit status as I would for any nonprofit that approached me in Wakefield, like I've done for every nonprofit that approached me in Wakefield. So I can't speak to it. I know we're going to have an opponent on, and probably somebody from that group to talk about it. I think they would say that they still want it to, they're not against it. They want it to be 90 units. That's what they would be happy with, because that was the number that was floated around originally. I don't know where it came up from, but that was the number that came up. I don't know. I think at the end of the day, I do think the idea, even if you go back and say, well, the reason why it failed was because people at Wakefield didn't want to give away town land, supposedly. I think the argument, the next logical step is the reason they didn't want to give away town land is because they didn't want to build a big structure, and therefore they didn't want something big in the downtown Wakefield, no matter the size, whether it's 90 units, 150 units, 130 units, I think that's what the actual amount is. I don't know that for sure, so please nobody quote me. I think people would just be against it no matter what. The one issue I had, and I know I hope you don't mind me segueing with that, is the one issue I had is this idea that it's some sort of mysterious group or some sort of evil group, it's like, that really gets picked on a bit in the Wakefield community group. I mean, the people on there, I hope they don't mind me using their names, Pat Bruno, Fred Rick, Brown Rendell, Vopi, Sandy Frey, I think, is on there. I know there are a few more. I just can't remember it off the top of my head. Ann Mitchell, Roy Moore. I'm trying to think of who they promote that's involved. But, I mean, all these people have been involved in town government. I mean, Fred Rich has helped almost, with the exception, I think, of Phyllis Hull and Brian Salvi, has helped every one of those selectmen in one of their campaigns. Roy Moore has been, at every Friends of the Lake on a pallet breakfast ever. I hope you don't mind me saying that if you listen. Ann Mitchell is on the board. All these people are activists in town, is my point. They're all part of that 200, 300 person activist group. They're all, people you can talk to. Pat was involved in the Chamber of Commerce. He worked with you. I mean, so this idea that there's some sort of mysterious bad group is untrue. They're all good people. They just disagree with what's best on the town. And, the argument, again, is, take a step back. We're talking about an assisted living facility. We're not talking about life or death. We're not talking about the education of our children. We're not talking about fire and safety budgets. We're not talking about layoffs. We're talking about an assisted living facility that hasn't even gone up. And this idea that it's a mysterious group, it's these activists that are all listed in the phone book. I mean, just talk to them. I mean,
I think, and I understand the frustration where you're coming from in regards to, these people kind of being pinpointed and, like the Pat Brunos, Fred Riches, et cetera, of the world that, have been, pretty openly against, the project and yet still getting bashed within that community group. Granted, we're talking about 20 to 30 people consistently commenting on that. And maybe they're not using them by name. Maybe they're using different acronyms such as, Weed 11 or whatever they're using, something like that. Stuff to that nature, just to kind of spin that. But I think the frustration that we were kind of talking about a little bit via text earlier today, I just think and I can see this from on the selectman side, everything that has been developed or has been in the stages of development over the last even just, let's say, 5 to 10 years, there's always been some sort of pushback. And I get that Wakefield's always been that way, but it feels that at this point in the game, with the selectmen that are there, a lot of people are very well-liked on the board. It doesn't matter how you're kind of seated, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, and you don't have to disclose that if you want to as a selectman. But the way that they run their campaigns and the way that they're effectively available to people, I mean, they're not
hiding by any means. They show what they mean and what they vote for sure. And I just feel that, especially, you know, someone like Paul DiNocco, who's just all over the place and he has his fingers in everything.
Oh, he's the best.
Great.
He's everywhere.
Yeah, then hopefully we can get him on the show soon, too, because I'm sure he'll want to hype up the Italian Festival coming up soon. I just feel that their frustration is just that the same no to development keeps coming up, and it's as I kind of said earlier, it's like, okay, then what do you want to develop? Because we're trying to do stuff to better the town, but if you're not going to work with us, if there's always going to be a fight over this, over that, it makes it harder, you know, for us to continuously grow the town and make the town better for especially, you know, people of our demographic that are younger, that are starting to buy homes in Wakefield, that are looking for something to do and start a family in town, and they want to be able to stay local half the time.
No, I actually agree with you on what you're saying. I just think, I hate to say it, I think it's just a part of the political system, and I think you're always going to, I think there are people in town, in Wakefield, I think it's a big contingent, who, you know, like, and I'll use my example. I think if I went for, let's say, forget Brightview, and let's say Guardia Development was building a condominium unit, you know, 390 units, 20% affordable housing. I'm sure a lot of those people would be opposed to it. I wouldn't, but I'm sure some of them would be for it. I think there's just always groups of people who are opposed for a variety of reasons. Whether, you know, there was that Franklin Street development where a lot of people on that area, Franklin Summer and whatnot, were opposed to it. I think it just happens, and I think it's frustrating. I think there's a contingent in town that would like to see Wakefield be a lot more, you know, almost kind of like towns in Western Mass, you know, more like a Boxborough or a Linfield. I think Wakefield's so unique because it's like, you know, part of it, I think the population wants to be more like Linfield and North Andover and Andover and North Reading, and then the other half wants to be more like Melrose, more like, Reading and whatnot. And I think we're somewhere in the middle, and I think we're special because we have the infrastructure in the sense of, you know, the lakes and the buses and the trains, that we can be something above all those towns. We just have to figure it out. So, I know, I get the frustration, but I think it just comes with the territory of being an elected official. And the one thing I will say, and I know we're running close to being out of time, is me and you have both been involved in campaigns where people would lie to us, or not lie to us, they would play this game and drive me nuts. They would say, hey, we're with you, but not with you publicly. We can't say it. And, you know, all these people would say that. The one thing I'll say about, you know, the people in the Civic League is at least you know where they stand. And I take that a lot more than I take, you know, not knowing and playing this guessing game. And same with the selection. At least you know where they stand, and at least you know what the issue is. So, you know, again, I go to bed loving my town just because I know that, you know, the biggest issue is whether an assisted living facility is going to come in. No, it's not anything that, you know, nobody's real life, nobody's losing a job, nobody's suffering from addiction, you know, nobody's education is being hurt. I can't wait till we get to the debate, and I'll put it out right now, is, you know, when we have to talk about an override for the new high school and property taxes going up, that's going to be the fight. And I think you're even going to see members of the Civic League divided. I think you're going to see a whole new dynamic when we, you know, you're going to see the selectmen divided for sure when we're talking debt exclusion for the high school, because there's, at least in my mind, I don't know how else you can pay for a new high school.
No, we'll probably end up getting a ton of callers about that too once that starts to get processed. But you are correct. We are.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. We're really short on time. So again, thank you everyone for listening to the show. Really appreciate the support. We've actually kind of hit a milestone just from last Friday, and just to let you all know, to keep you in the loop, we're over 750 listeners now, which is phenomenal.
Nice.
So thank you. It's really great. Again, you can listen to us on our webpage, blogtalkradio.com/AP_course. You can always follow us on Facebook, the AP course, or on Twitter, @AP_course. We're always available. You can also reach out to myself or Anthony if there's something that you may want to talk about. But again, we'll be on tomorrow. We'll have some promotion for that. And thank you, Anthony, for calling in. And everybody have a good night. Thank you.
No, later.